Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. It all began in Poland in the 1930s, before World War II, with the revelations of Our Lady to Faustina Kowalska, today Saint Faustina. You may have guessed it's the devotion to the Divine Mercy, the same devotion observed at the Wagoniki Shrine back in Poland in a Krakow suburb where this visionary once lived. But it's no longer just a Polish devotion. It's caught on elsewhere across the world, and the manner in which it's expressed changes to fit in with the culture in which it's received. Like in the Philippines, precisely at Mindanao, where three Polish missionaries of the Order of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception are advocating this devotion as we speak. Living in bamboo barracks in a place where there may not yet be a church, but where the dedication of a shrine to this devotion recently took place, precisely on the 8th of September. What is there, however, standing proud on a hill overlooking the bay, is a giant statue of Jesus, 50 foot high, with those three rays of light bursting from him, which Our Lady once requested Faustina to have painted back in 1934 in the course of one of her revelations. Only these rays in the Filipino statue are carved to such a dimension that pilgrims can actually access the figure of Jesus via some staircases, or even internally up an elevator. The general counselor of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, Father Joseph Roach, recently called in at our radio station and sat down with me for a chat. Let's listen to what he had to say. It's a very Polish devotion, yet it has an international appeal. Why is that, do you think?
Well, it's for humanity. It's for all of humanity. The Lord wants to be merciful to all people. But all of humanity is called to be trust in God's mercy, to receive God's mercy. And the Filipino people, in a very special way, they have a... I think something in their hearts that opens them to trusting in God. And so they have responded, and it really took off, especially during the 1980s in the Philippines when they were having a lot of political turmoil there. And it was a prayer that was broadcast on the TV and on the radio. Even in department stores, people would stop and say a little prayer at 3 o'clock, the hour when Christ died on the cross for us, entrusting themselves to God's mercy, and it became a real source of unity in the country. And so people have just been responding to that devotion, especially in the Philippines, for a long time. In the United States, the two miracles that led to the beatification and canonization of Saint Faustina came from the United States. So there's a great deal of devotion to the Divine Mercy there as well. So it really is something that's taking off around the world. We have a Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Brazil as well. It's very popular there.
Why do you think there's a need for mercy in the world today?
Well, because there's sin in the world, because people have turned away from God in many ways and his plan. God has been merciful to us. His whole attitude toward us since the beginning of time, since creation, has been that of mercy, giving and wanting to pour out love and blessings on us. But sometimes we feel that we don't need God, or we can do it without God, or we can do it ourselves. And so our priorities become skewed, and we fail to see that relationship with God, that we are children of God and that he's our loving Father. And so we need to be reminded that God is present, God is in our midst, God has not abandoned us, and God wants to help us in this spiritual journey. The other thing was, there was a time in church history where we began to see God as very exigent and sort of like the divine bookkeeper in the sky writing down all our sins, and people began to feel a sort of a distance from God, that God was not a loving father, God was not a loving one who wanted to draw close to us. And I think this is a sort of a corrective that the Lord wants us to know, that he doesn't want to be very distant from us. He wants to be close to us and wants to assist us.
The way you're speaking, you sound full of hope, which is good as you're about to start on a sort of new venture. But it's quite challenging to do something like that at the present moment in the Philippines. I mean, there is some anti-Christian feeling there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. That's true. The Philippines is a predominantly Christian nation, but from a long time ago there has been a Muslim presence there. There's also tensions even within the Christian community, because there's Catholicism and then there's other sects that are beginning to try to see what they can do to maybe take some of the flock away from the Catholic Church. So there are some tensions that are going on there in the Philippines right now. At the same time, Holy Father has just written that beautiful encyclical on hope. We're saved by hope, and we need to be hopeful. And so there's always a need to continue to reaffirm our faith in the Lord, continue to reaffirm our faith in his goodness and his mercy. And so when I was there earlier this year in the Philippines, I received a very warm welcome by the people there. And we're receiving great support, and they're very happy that we are there to help them in this endeavor of beginning a new mission in the Philippines for our community. And so I am hopeful that God is going to be doing great things there and wherever we go, to try to spread the message that he is merciful and he's loving and that he wants to help us.
You began by praying, no? Before actually laying out all the various ways of establishing yourselves and starting a shrine. What role does prayer have in this devotion to Divine Mercy?
Well, I think it's very important, because at the bottom of the image of the Divine Mercy that the Lord asked Sister Faustina to have painted, it says, "Jesus, I trust in you." And that's a prayer. That's a way of opening up us into a relationship with the Lord, that I'm not trusting in myself and my own resources and my own efforts solely. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm giving myself over to the Lord. So the Lord is inviting us into a relationship through this devotion to the Divine Mercy. And he wants us to call upon him and cry out for mercy, as our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, had written in his encyclical, Divas in Misericordia, cry out to heaven and ask for his mercy. And so it's a way of maybe reestablishing that relationship with the Lord. Now, we're also called to be merciful to others, to do the works of mercy, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. But the problem is, if we just try to focus on that without focusing also on the prayer — we need both, of course, the ora et labora, the work and the prayer — we can start just becoming social workers, or you know, maybe becoming members of the Communist Party or whatever, forgetting who we are and what our roots are as Christians, that we are followers of Christ, and that he has to be number one in our lives.
Well, you said there was big devotion to Divine Mercy in the Philippines, but a lot of the people who are going there, a lot of the missionaries who are going there, are not Filipinos, right?
Right.
So isn't that a challenge in itself?
Yes, it is. Obviously, for our people coming from the West, they have to learn a new culture. There are many different languages spoken in the Philippines. English is a predominant language there. But to work with the poor, obviously, it's necessary to come to know the local languages and the different islands that there are there, to know the culture, to know the people, to know the situations there. So that is a process, and that takes time. However, it's important to really solidify the people in their faith. And some of the men that we have sent have very good experiences as spiritual directors, as formators in seminaries, as parish priests. And so that the richness that they can bring is the depth of spirituality and a life of prayer, a life lived in a community. And so they can bring the charism of our community, the Marian Fathers, to the Philippines, and they can help the people to help to form their prayer life, to form their lives, to find better ways of living in community among each other, to come to know each other. So there's a richness that our men can learn from them, and they can learn from the Marians. It was interesting, when I went there to Mindanao, we had this little song that this Filipino people love to sing and to dance, and they're always trying to bring different aspects of that into their lives. And so the song from The King and I, Rodgers and Hammerstein, "Getting to Know You," seemed to be very appropriate. This was a an English school teacher was getting to know these children, these Asian children in Siam, which is present-day Thailand. And I thought it was appropriate analogy for what's happening there. Our men coming into the Philippines, they trying to get to know the Filipinos, and the Filipinos trying to get to know each other and trying to enrich each other. It's an exciting time for us as a community. We made this decision to try to come to Asia, and we have three men there now. We have three other men preparing to go. We have two young Filipino seminarians in the United States. One was born in the Philippines, but both of them grew up in California. They're interested in going as well, so there's great hope for us. And we've already had some people in the Philippines interested in joining the community, and so we really think that God is doing things, and we especially look to our founder, who was just beatified, for his intercession. And we just lost a man in the United States, Father Mark Garrow. He was our provincial in the United States. He was a young man who just died of cancer, and he had visited Asia and was really hoping that we would be able to get a start there. So we feel he's interceding for us as well.
Listening there to the General Counselor of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, Father Joseph Roach. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.